Wednesday at 8 p.m. for the Personal Computer Show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's every Wednesday on WBAI 99.5 FM.
Oh.
So why don't you tell a friend?
Well, okay.
And tell your boss.
Well.
Hey, call your mom and tell them about the Personal Computer Show every Wednesday at 8 p.m. on WBAI 99.5 FM.
Okay. I got questions about my computer.
Have you got questions about your computer?
Not my, coffee over in my keyboard. Do you think that's a problem?
No, not for me.
Well, it doesn't mean we're working right, Jimmy.
I'd buy a new one, you know what I mean.
Okay.
But you really have got to be there. It's like the best. It's the Personal Computer Show.
Okay, so they're rebuilding after Hurricane Sandy. They can do it stupid, or they can do it smart. I'm Ken Gale, and on the next Ecologic, we'll have a conversation with Chris Benedict, an architect who has been creating buildings since 1996 that use as little as one-tenth the energy of typical buildings and with the same budget. Also, Tim Keating of Rainforest Relief on how those boardwalks are being rebuilt. And, of course, someone from Occupy Sandy. That's Tuesday, January 8th at 8 p.m. here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
Children, this is Reverend Billy from the Church of Stop Shopping. You're listening to WBAI FM 99.5, New York City. It's listener-sponsored, children. It's commercial-free. Ooh, change-a-looia.
This is your WBAI Community Bulletin Board with announcements of upcoming events. I'm Earth Mom.
And I'm Derek Gibbs.
The weakest of all political demands is, give me something to vote for.
Got questions about your computer?
Mm-hmm.
Want to know about the latest electronics?
Yeah.
Are you confused by high-definition TV?
A little.
Well, tune into WBAI every Wednesday at 8 p.m. for the Personal Computer Show.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's every Wednesday on WBAI 99.5 FM.
Oh.
So why don't you tell a friend?
Well, okay.
And tell your boss.
Well.
Hey, call your mom and tell them about the Personal Computer Show every Wednesday at 8 p.m. on WBAI 99.5 FM.
Okay. I got questions about my computer.
Have you got questions about your computer?
Not my, coffee over in my keyboard. Do you think that's a problem?
No, not for me.
Well, it doesn't mean we're working right, Jimmy.
I'd buy a new one, you know what I mean.
Okay.
But you really have got to be there. It's like the best. It's the Personal Computer Show.
And you're listening to radio station WBAI New York. The time is 7 o'clock. Time once again for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Bum dilly bum for the best, expect the worst. I hope that's understood. Bum dilly bum.
Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook, Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Wednesday evening, joined tonight by Mike.
Hi there.
Rob T. Firefly.
Good evening.
Bicycle Mark.
Hello.
You're here for the last time this this visit to the United States.
Correct. Hello. Good evening.
We'll make this a good show just for you. And from someplace in Skype land, Bernie S.
Greetings from via Skype from Philadelphia. Oh. How do I sound today?
You sound awful, Bernie. What are you using this week?
I'm using a WiMAX connection. I can switch back to a cell phone if this is really bad.
What was so hard about getting him to not use a wireless connection? So one thing I asked you guys to make sure is that he was not using a wireless connection because it sounds awful.
I'm sorry. I don't have a wired connection where I am right now. So
well, then you'll have to call in on the phone because the phone is far preferable to this.
All right. I will do that. Sorry about that.
You ask people to do one thing, just one thing. This year is not getting off to a good start. All right, so, Mike, I'm going to hand you the phone here. When he calls in, press the right button, and we'll bring him up on the phone line.
Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year, people. Let's make it a year that has good sound quality, because that's my thing this year, is good sound quality. That should be the theme, right?
I think in certain horoscope calendars, this is the year of good sound quality. So
good. It's good to know. I'm kind of killing time until Bernie calls in so that we can all discuss things together. So I'll ask Bicycle Mark, where are you off to after this?
I have to pass through Portugal.
Have to pass through Portugal. How unpleasant for you.
It's a requirement in my family. So, and that's en route back home to Amsterdam, where I haven't been for a few months.
Uh-huh.
So.
A few months? You've been away from home for a few months.
I've been away for 2 months, the North Africa journey, the Middle East, and then the North American journey.
Wow. So in order, you left Holland.
I did.
And tell us the countries that you've been to and before you returned to Holland.
The train passed through Belgium.
In order, yes.
Yes. And then I went to France.
Mm-hmm.
And from France, I flew to Tunisia.
Okay.
All of this is very easy, by the way. Any American or European can do this
very easily.
Could have
taken a boat, couldn't you, from France to Tunisia?
Yes, you can. There are ferries. I think there's more than one a day, in fact, from Marseille. I've seen them leaving the port. But I chose to fly. And then from Tunisia, I flew to Cairo. And from Cairo, I flew to Beirut. All very easy again. I just want to be clear about this.
Mm-hmm.
And then from Lebanon, I flew to Paris. Then I took a train through Belgium.
A lot of flying in the Mideast. Okay.
And then I flew from Amsterdam to Portugal. I'd like to know.
Oh, so you went back to Amsterdam.
For global warming.
So technically, you weren't away for months because you went back to Holland.
I did. I had to make a connection there and drop off one suitcase in exchange for another, the warm weather suitcase for the cold.
And so you actually went to your house then?
I did. I saw it. I tried to prove to people that I lived there and that I care.
So you weren't really away for months. You've been away now for a couple of weeks.
Yes, that's true.
Trying to be technical. I want to get things right this year as well.
Did you know, Emmanuel, first of all, that Bernie's on the line?
Oh, Bernie, welcome.
I hope I sound a bit better now.
Actually, you do. I mean, you still don't sound great, but you sound better than you did before.
The other thing I learned is
that
the Thomas Cook overseas timetable is no longer a thing.
Whoa. Everybody stop. What? What do you mean?
That's a book.
My Bible that I use for every single train in the world, you're saying that doesn't exist anymore?
They still have the Europe version.
Okay.
But what they call overseas is everywhere that isn't Europe, and that has ceased publication 2 years ago, and I just found out.
Well, it's interesting because that book that covers the whole rest of the world is smaller than the book that covers Europe.
Yes.
So I think that, and it's funny too, because there are parts of the United States that are in that book, and you see random commuter lines, like there's a Long Island Railroad line, but only one of them is listed there.
It's very inconsistently edited and often wrong, but it is amazing to have a book that contains most of the surface transport in the entire world, and you can no longer get it.
But you can get the European one.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's a relief then. Okay. So now that we're all assembled here, FISA. Yes, I said the four-letter word beginning with F that we are going to be talking about. No, it's not on that list. And who would like to begin our discussion on FISA and why we should be mad as H about it?
H? You can say. That's not on the list either.
Okay. You can be mad as heck about it. Doesn't feel right saying that. Anybody?
Well, I can tell you that FISA is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, and it's actually been in effect for quite some time.
It was
the 70s, I believe.
Since when?
Since the 70s, I believe.
The 1970s.
Yes, it has.
Okay, in its present state.
No. It is. you know, like Obama's view on other things, it has evolved over the years.
Okay. And how has it evolved?
Well, I think Mike is probably the most knowledgeable about all of us in this, but I'll just want to say that the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act was a law passed by Congress and signed by probably President Nixon, I'm guessing, if it was in the early 70s, that would allow for a secret court. You're not allowed to go to these court hearings or trials, where the government goes before special judges who hear nothing but FISA cases to determine whether a wiretap can be placed for a foreign target. That's why it starts with an F, for Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. It was only designed for this court to for our government to surveil foreign targets, even though one end of the connection could be in the U.S. But since the Patriot Act, the FISA court powers or the rules involving getting wiretap authorizations through the FISA court, which almost never says no, by the way, were changed radically through the Patriot Act, courtesy of George W. Bush.
Well, so, yeah, that's what I wanted to focus on, because the way the story is being reported, in fact, I'm going to read a quote as to how it's being reported. The FISA Amendments Act of 2008, which made it legal for the National Security Agency to perform warrantless wiretapping, is something that originated under the George W. Bush administration. Now, this is what we're talking about as far as what has been extended, not something from the 1970s, correct?
Right, so what Bernie described was the FISA court, but the FISA provides a whole bunch of procedures for the government to spy on people all around the world. And these amendments, one of the particularly offensive things about them is that they permit warrantless wiretapping so that the government doesn't even have to go through this totally rigged procedure that Bernie described in order to spy on people. And that is, I mean, the government's spying on people all the time, but this particular authorization is what is new and what has newly been extended while the government was busy, while the Congress was busy not passing any bills that anyone wanted it to pass. It found the time to pass this one.
Right. So rather than be upset at its existence in the first place from the 1970s, we're supposed to be upset at the fact that the thing from 2008 has been extended, which gave them even more power, correct?
We can be upset at the whole thing.
Well, yes, we can be, but I just think it's kind of, you know, we might as well be upset at the founding fathers then, because
they did a lot of things wrong.
You know what? It sort of takes attention away from the more immediate things that happened a mere 4 or 5 years ago, and that's what was extended a few days ago by the Senate in an overwhelming vote. Rob,
right? What happened in 2008 was the FISA Amendments Act, which instituted all the changes that you talked about, and what was recently decided was what Congress actually turned down what would have been a proposal to open things up a little bit, add a little transparency to this whole situation, get some statistics on how much the activities that are being committed by, under this act, under the guise of investigation, are aimed at basically ordinary Americans going about their business, who's being inconvenienced, how much it's even being used, and that was roundly rejected by Congress.
I just want to clarify or maybe just repeat what Rob said, which is there were several amendments offered, most of them by Senator Wyden, who's, I guess, the only senator who believes in civil liberties, or one of the few anyway.
And where's he from? Is it Oregon?
Northwest, I think.
Yeah, I think it's Oregon.
I think so. And so he had a series of amendments that were all voted down. Some of which were to, like, you know, stop spying on people or stop spying on people without warrants. But there was one to just provide a report so that the government would have to tell the public, you know, how much they were using this power to spy on people without a warrant. And that was so controversial that the Senate would have none of it. And it was, I don't know if you have the numbers in front of you, but it was overwhelmingly voted down. They would just rather we don't even know.
It was a significant number. Unfortunately, my toner was fading really badly, so I can't make out the actual numbers. But it was more than two-thirds, more than three-quarters, I believe, and very disappointing. Can we say we're surprised?
I'm upset. I don't know that I'm surprised, but...
Are you surprised that you're upset? I'm not. Bernie, are you surprised?
That's very meta.
I, of course, had my hopes up that what Congress said should be sunsetted or ended this past year, was like a zombie brought back from the dead. It's really, I think, disingenuous for Congress to pass laws saying, well, we want this law to sunset or end on a particular date because it's so controversial and so egregious that we have to set a deadline where it ends and then for the keep renewing it. That's just, it's the height of disingenuousness, I think.
But, I wish they had brought it back from the dead because then that would have meant that it was dead at some point, and I don't think it has been, has it? It's been going pretty consistently.
No. This is a top priority for them, renewing this.
Right. Yeah, and I've got the figure in front of me. Apparently, in the Senate, the five more years of the FISA Amendments Act was reauthorized with a vote of 73 to 23.
Now, do we know who the 23 were? I was going to look this up before the show, and I just ran out of time. But maybe our local senators, do we know if they voted for it or against it? Does anybody know?
Perhaps we could find out.
Okay, get your smartphone to work there, and maybe we'll have an answer fairly soon. But it's so disappointing.
I think that the thing we can immediately infer is that this is not a partisan issue. Both of the parties are voting in favor of these expanded government powers in overwhelming numbers, and that's
well. Do you think that represents what their clientele, what their constituents are telling them
their
to do?
Their constituents, no, but their clientele, yes.
Okay, well, yeah. This, which do you think they pay more attention to?
I think that's clear.
Yeah, I can't say I'm surprised, but I'm pretty upset by it.
I mean, what's crazy is that if all this spying actually worked, if they were actually able to catch terrorists, it would be the front page of the Times. For everyone they caught.
No, it's that same logic of all the things that didn't happen, all the terrorist acts that didn't take place is because this law was in effect. That's the smoke and mirrors that they pull to get these things to work. The fact that we didn't have terrorist attacks means that we must be doing something right, so therefore let's keep it in place.
I think if there were any to be caught, they would be parading them all around quite a bit.
Yeah, I do have those nays here.
I'm impressed. Okay, Robert, what do you got?
If you would like to hear the nays, this is from the Senate's own site. The people who voted against extending the FISA.
You're going to read all the nays. Okay, let's do it. I think they deserve some credit for that.
They deserve a little recognition.
Should we applaud after
No,
each
let's
one?
Not do that, right. But let's read their party affiliation and there's the state they're from. And maybe we can keep track of how many Democrats and how many Republicans.
We could. Well, the nays are Senator Akaka, Democrat from Hawaii. Senator Baucus, Democrat from Montana. Senator Begich, that's a Democrat from Alaska. Senator Bingaman, who's a Democrat from New Mexico. Senator Brown, Democrat from Ohio.
Got to say, so far it's Democrats 5-0.
Senator Cantwell, Democrat from Washington. Senator Coons, Democrat from Delaware. Senator Durbin, Democrat Illinois. Senator Franken, Democrat Minnesota. Senator Harkin, Democrat Iowa. Senator Leahy, Democrat from Vermont. Senator Lee, Republican from Utah. Senator Menendez, Democrat New Jersey. Senator Merkley, Democrat Oregon. Senator Murkowski, Republican from, what's AK? Alaska. Senator Murray, Democrat from Washington. Senator Paul, Republican from Kentucky. Senator Sanders, Independent from Vermont. Senator Schatz, Democrat from Hawaii. Senator Tester, Democrat from Montana. Senator Udall, Democrat from Colorado. Another Senator Udall, Democrat from New Mexico. And Senator Wyden, Democrat from Oregon.
Now, I'm shocked that Rand Paul voted against this, but maybe I shouldn't be. But only three Republicans voted against it.
Only three Republicans and one independent.
Okay. All right. Well, that's there you go. But nobody from New York, right?
Yeah, I didn't hear Schumer on that list.
No, you didn't hear Schumer on that list, and that's because he is a big, bold yay on this list.
Okay, well, I guess some re-education is in order, and hopefully we can reach out and convince people this is a bad idea. This is something that should not continue to be extended, and that we value our privacy and our warrants, too. You know, warrants are a good thing.
That's the crazy thing about this FISA court is it approves substantially all of the requests that are put in front of it. And even that is deemed too much paperwork for the security apparatus. And that's pretty frightening.
Okay, well, that's all we have to say about FISA today. But we certainly will say more about it in the future, as I'm sure we'll become victimized by it. A new year basically means the beginning of new things, but it also means the end of old things sometimes. And there are many things that seem to be ending, and I'm kind of sad by some of them, but also kind of wondering what might happen as a result. this one I'm not sad about at all. Verizon has announced that they will no longer handle 900 number billing. Yes, remember 900 number? Well, they still exist, 900 numbers. Those are those numbers that, you know, you call and get billed a monumental amount for. All kinds of chat lines and sex lines and customer support lines that rip you off. I guess they're going away. But Verizon saying this doesn't mean that they're going away, but it's a big blow against them. They've been informed, these companies, service bureau companies, have been informed by Verizon. It will terminate billing for all 900 number pay-per-call programs in the United States effective December 31st, 2012. So I assume they were notified well before then. 900 numbers enjoyed an astounding run in the 1990s as businesses like Microsoft used them for computer technical support. The U.S. Passport Office also employed 900 numbers for expedited passport requests and a whole lot of money for them. You could even listen to the astronauts on the space shuttle via a 900 number. I remember that. Then there were the 900 number programs that usually consisted of girls in hot tubs saying, call me on late night television. And in most cases, when you did call, you probably got a lot less than you might have thought you were getting, especially since the major carriers banned billing for adult content within 2 years of the mass introduction of 900 services back in 1989. In fact, if you go back to the very beginning of Off the Hook, we did a feature on this because it was a new thing back then in the late 80s. The place where 900 numbers had the most lasting impact in the minds of the consumers was in entertainment. Singer Michael Bolton had a popular 900 number for his fan club. And WWF...
Wait, what? Singer Michael Bolton had a 900 number for his fan club?
Yeah.
All right.
Would you deny him that?
I wonder who would call it, but apparently his fans.
You know, if you're Justin Bieber or somebody and you tell your fans to jump off a bridge, they'll do it. So calling a 900 number is not that big a deal, especially if it's your parents' phone that you use. WWF, which tells you how old this is because it's not the World Wildlife Foundation, heavyweight champion Hulk Hogan had a 900 number. That was the most called one in the nation. Who could forget, even though I never knew it, Dionne Warwick and her Psychic Friends Network. Actually, I didn't know about that, but I didn't know about the 900 number. They supposedly earned $1 billion per year back in the early 1990s when people did not know what 900 numbers were. Psychic Friends Network went bankrupt in 1998. They did not see that coming, did they? That's a short history of 900 numbers. So looks like they're on the way out.
Could you ever call them from a cell phone?
I'm not sure, and I'm not going to try. I don't know, Bernie. It sounds like something you might have tried.
I never tried calling from a cell phone. I mean, call the Psychic Friends Network or call the 900 number.
Any 900 number.
I think I did once as an experiment. It was an inexpensive one just to see what would happen with the billing. Of course, this was decades ago.
So you were able to call it?
I was able to. It was an interesting and novel way for companies to charge for a premier service that you just have to call. And the phone company that you called through would take care of the billing. The problem is a lot of people complained of fraud. Like some guy's wife would find out that her husband had called the hot tub number, and then she would call to dispute it. And then so with all these chargebacks, which is one of the reasons that this is ending, and the other reasons that this is coming into an end, 900 numbers, is that no mobile carrier, no cell phone company will handle 900 numbers, probably because they just realize there'd be a lot of chargebacks and everything. So since most people seem to use cell phones now, and with all the chargebacks on the landlines, I guess Verizon decided they're just not going to handle this anymore. And Verizon, as we all know, now owns MCI from a few years ago, and that pretty much wraps it up. There's not going to be any more 900 billing anymore.
What about local ones like 976 numbers and 540 numbers and things like that? Do you think they're going away too?
Well, the article I read here does not address this. This was a blog I read by a guy named Bob Dentz, who is right nearby here in Philadelphia. And it doesn't address the 976. I think there's another exchange. Wasn't it like 540 or something?
Yeah, 540-550-970-976. I think that's it just for New York, but other places had different ones. And that's why people got ripped off so much, because 540, that's a legitimate exchange. It might even be legitimate in New Jersey, but in New York, you could get charged $25 a call for calling it. So,
I think this is just 900 area code. This is this is going away, so or just won't result. Which would be interesting to try to call some of those numbers and see what happens, but it probably won't work.
Well, bicycle mark.
I don't see how it could have failed. Especially I'm looking at the Psychic Friends Network. It still exists, by the way, but they had a very affordable rate of $3.99 per minute on that 900 number.
Wow.
Yeah, and they told you the future, so.
Did they tell you what your phone bill is going to look like in the future?
If you know everything else, what does it matter?
Wow. In Holland, do they have numbers like this?
You have 09. The 9 prefix is used by a lot of countries. I know in Belgium. In Holland, sometimes if you leave the television on late, you get those offers, people on screen saying call 09 and then a number. So those are the premium numbers. And those will continue to exist if people miss them and they want to go over to Europe.
Well, and it's all a question of demand, too. I mean, these days, if you want to call your psychic hot tub lady or whatever, there are probably ways to do what you want over the internet rather than over your phone line. So that's probably where everything's going now.
According
they should
to
have seen that. They're psychic friends. They should have seen this coming.
Yes, I already made that joke there.
I didn't hear that.
In fact, that joke is in the article that I was reading from iMedia Connection blog. Who also state that mobile is the future. We keep hearing that every damn day. And clearly the future for the pay-per-call business is with billing mechanisms. Already the USA is running way behind Europe and Canada in providing worthwhile new mobile billing mechanisms, such as the pound code. Does anybody know what the pound code is?
It's like a kilogram, but about half as much.
Hi-yo!
Hey, this is not getting off to a good start this year. Let's... Now, the reason I ask is because the article does not explain what they are. And again, I did not. I'm sorry. I have like time to look it up.
I mean, there's certain codes on cell phones that you can dial. Like on T-Mobile, if you dial pound, B-A-L, pound, you get your balance. I wonder if it's related.
Yes.
Okay, so it's probably some kind of, maybe it's like an SMS thing where you get charged a lot.
Does that not exist in the U.S.? Like if I take one of my local carriers and I write pound, 123, star or some combination, I don't get functions from the phone company? Because that's true in the rest of the world, not just Europe. I was using that in Egypt.
I know that's true for pay-as-you-go services overseas, but is it true for regular services over there as well?
I experienced this with prepaid services in the Middle East and in Europe.
Okay.
I'm not sure as a subscribed customer. I think, yes, you can still use these functions.
Okay.
But I don't know if that's the pound code. It may be what Mike was talking about.
It
earlier.
Sounds like a...
I'm talking about the same thing, aren't
I? It sounds like it could be
it's
the same thing.
It's called USSD is what it's called.
What's called USSD?
The pound thing.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
USSD, okay. Well,
on,
all right.
On Sprint?
I'm sorry.
On the Sprint mobile network, if you dial pound 2... you get customer service, and if you hit pound 3 or pound 5, I think it is, no, pound 3, you get the billing information, like how much money you owe them.
Okay. Well, I guess we're making our first steps into that world.
Well, until American Telecom gives us a pound code for psychic Hulk Hogan in a hot tub, we're just lagging behind the rest of the world.
This is one thing I'm glad that we're lagging on, that we don't have a way to rip people off with cell phones other than the cell phones themselves.
I wouldn't go that far, but
goodbye to 900 numbers. And also, what else might be leaving us soon? Payphones. In fact, there was an article recently entitled "What Should the City Do with 11,000 Payphones?"
Haven't we had this article like every year for the past decade?
Yeah, but apparently they're really going after them now. The city of New York is really serious about rethinking our payphones. Not only are some phones being replaced with fancy touchscreens, but recently the city announced a new competition to help, quote-unquote, reinvent the payphone. Now, hopefully this will turn out better than the Taxi of Tomorrow competition did. And again, I don't know what that is, but it sounds like a disaster. The fact that it is open to the public gives us hope. Now, basically, the city has realized that not only does it have 11,412 public payphones, but the current agreements with vendors to run them expires in 2014, which means this year, 2013, is the perfect time to figure out if there's a way to make them a bit more useful in the age of cell phones. Hopefully still keeping the phone part, because the phone part was rather useful after Hurricane Sandy. Wasn't useful in any of the payphones I tried because they were all broken, but had they been working, definitely would have been useful.
I did a couple months ago. I was walking down the street and I overheard some guy using a payphone very loudly asking the operator how many quarters he'd have to put in to call Brazil. And I was wondering yeah. if he had used a time machine to get there or something.
And that's probably the biggest audience, visitors. I mean, this holiday season, I chose to give my mobile phone to visitors who couldn't make a call but needed to call a hotel or a friend, and I just handed my phone over.
Were you standing in Times Square doing that for people?
Or? No, I was in a Union Station in D.C. a few days ago. And someone turned to me and said, "Can I use your phone? I have to call someone." And I thought, "Yes, you may." And I handed over my phone, and I stood there and waited. And they were from India. And I thought,
"And is that where they called?"
No, they called in the United States, but this is the, you know, when they're planning this whole thing, this is the audience they have to think about.
Rob.
Well, and as we've discussed on this program before, the payphones in this city, the only real income there is from them is by selling advertising on the outsides of the kiosks. The phone itself is basically an afterthought to justify the existence of all these billboards that they can sell ad space on. And so... With the phones themselves not being that much of an income source of concern, there isn't the impetus to keep them working or to, you know, to do the proper maintenance or to put in the infrastructure to run them. So basically, I don't think we're going to get anything like the payphones of old. I think if they're going to do anything with them to keep them useful, you know, or just abandon any pretense at public utility and just put up street level billboards everywhere that they can keep selling space on. But if they're going to be any sort of public utility, it may be maybe charging stations for cell phones, or maybe something that could interface with your cell phone in some way to be useful.
You see, the thing is, I know people that don't have cell phones. They exist. There are lots of people that don't have cell phones. So let's say you're walking down the street and you see a fire. Now, they've taken away the fire alarm boxes. You can't pull those things anymore. Payphones aren't working. What are people supposed to do if no one else is around with a cell phone?
Find a crowded theater and yell fire.
Yeah, that's really what it comes down to. I think, you know, and this might sound a bit idealistic, but phone companies make a lot of money in various ways. They may not make money off payphones, but they make money in so many other ways. And I think if you want to do business in a city like New York, you should be required to provide a public service in exchange for that. And maybe it comes down to not having a phone booth anymore, which takes maintenance and upkeep and things like that, but just attaching a phone to a lamppost that can be used for emergency purposes, to reach an operator, to reach the police, to reach the fire department, things like that. Or maybe to make some kind of phone call if you don't have a cell phone. There's always going to be a need for something like this. You just don't know when it's going to come up. You don't know where, which is why it's silly to get rid of them in certain neighborhoods and keep them in others.
Yeah, but the people like who have been running the payphones in the city, they're not primarily a phone company. They're an advertising company who basically learned enough about being a phone company to do what little they do to maintain the payphones. So maybe we should require this of the actual telecoms that are operating in the city, the cell phone carriers, the wired data carriers, people like that, to put up some sort of public utility to replace what we had with payphones.
Yeah, but it could be like a C-SPAN of phones, where basically all the phone companies have to contribute, just like the cable companies do, to keep that public service there for people when they need it.
I think the technology that you see now, and I haven't seen it in a while, maybe I've been away a long time, but I've seen it in the subway, these, you know, emergency boxes. I don't know how well they work. We used to have these on college campuses. They do, still all over the United States. But this kind of technology out of the subway, perhaps on the street, could also take care of at least the emergency aspect. Not that whole call a friend aspect, I'm in trouble, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we might see big changes to existing payphones. We might see the end of payphones in the next year or so. We don't know, but we'll keep updated on that. The other thing that we might be saying goodbye to is the landline phone network itself. In fact, I've gotten this article about 100 times in the last week called "The End of the Public Phone Network." And now it's kind of misleading because it's not an announcement of the end of the public phone network. It's what a committee would like to do. The 134-year-old U.S. public phone network is dying, according to this article. A third of all U.S. households are already cell phone only. Now, to me, that tells me that two-thirds aren't. So I don't know if dying is the right word.
Well, I mean, if you read on, the demographics are such that it's mostly or largely younger people who are cell phone only, so they're going to get older and may or may not get a landline. But also, even a large percentage of the people who do have landlines essentially never use them. They have them because they get a better deal on their television service or something. So if you count those people as well, it becomes almost, possibly even actually a majority of Americans who are mostly cell phone users.
Interesting. You can do that with numbers, huh?
Yeah, you can add them up.
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure I agree with that because I think there are a lot more landlines in use still. I think it's more than 50% from the data I've seen. But regardless, yes, it's definitely less than there have been in the past. But, well, here's what they're talking about. They say more and more businesses and households are trading their traditional switched telephone service for voice over internet protocol or VoIP services. And that supposedly, according to this IEEE.org article, has led to a paradoxical situation where a huge number of phone calls start out as internet packets and end as internet packets, but have to be switched to and then from a voice circuit in between. So what remains is to put the internet protocol in the middle of the network as well. And that's supposedly what AT&T has been supporting. The transition from the circuit-switched legacy network to broadband and IP-based communications. They go on to say that transition is underway already, and with each passing day, more and more services are leaving the public switched telephone network and plain old telephone service as relics of a bygone era. And the company called on the government to give a date certain for the last plain old telephone call. Bernie, what do you think of this?
I almost started tearing up when you just said give a date certain for the last plain old telephone call. I mean, are we going to have a funeral or a ceremony for the last landline phone call? That would, I don't know.
I have a feeling we're going to be on that last phone call. And I don't intend to hang up, so let's see what they do
right.
Then. But they do say that this will lead to much better features like high definition voice service. But the thing is, they give an example of the transition from regular television to HDTV, and I don't think that really went that well. So I don't think that's the best example to give. But if it works better, I'm all for it. I'm just not for something where you become more dependent on things that could fail. As we saw after Sandy, many people did not have phone service because they didn't have plain old telephone service. If you had something from Cablevision or Time Warner, odds are you lost your phone. Whereas if you had something from Verizon, odds are you didn't. There are exceptions.
Wait a minute. We're talking to Bernie on the telephone right now. How are we doing it?
Well, we were using Skype, as you
all
recall,
right,
and that
now,
did not work out so well.
And now we're using a VoIP call because the Verizon landlines in this building still don't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I've mentioned many times that Verizon in Lower Manhattan is a disaster. But on the island, Verizon was really, the landlines were the only thing working for a good long time. Cablevision phones were not working. Cell phones were not working. I think, Bicycle Mark, you suggested using satellite phones, and that would have worked.
Yeah, that's an expensive option, but yes. A lot of us travelers, I don't mean that term in the negative sense, but do turn to satellite phones in emergencies.
I think if the technology were a bit more robust, if, for instance, there was a requirement that cell towers had to have backup generators that lasted a good long time, rather than as soon as there's a power failure or a couple of hours afterwards, they all go down, then it might serve the public better.
True.
Emmanuel?
Yes, Bernie?
One of the other things is not only would I propose that support your idea that mobile phone companies have to have backup power generators at their cell sites that would maybe last for – you know, provide power for days for situations like the Sandy hurricane, but provide a higher grade of service. Grade of service is an old telecom term of art, meaning like how quickly you can get a connection. And the cell phone systems are designed so only a tiny fraction of the number of customers can make calls simultaneously. And that's why you can't make a phone call when there's a big disaster. Generally, it's because everybody's trying to use. Even if the cell phone network is working perfectly well, like at 9/11, most of the cell phone, very few cell sites were actually taken out during 9/11. You couldn't get calls through because everybody was calling everybody, and they're not required like the landline companies provide a grade of service where you know a certain percentage of people are allowed to are technically able to get calls through at any given moment.
Well, in fairness, though, landlines were clogged up on that day as well.
Yeah, but I bet you the grade of service on getting a call through landlines was higher than cell phones. It's just the way it is. I don't know how many times I've been in a crowded venue where there's a lot of people and I can't get a phone call through because everybody's trying to make a call. It just has no service, mm-hmm. even though the network is fine.
Were you able, Bernie, to suddenly provision an extra landline and make a call on that?
No, but I have turned to payphones in a couple of situations like that, and they always worked.
What if everyone was trying to use them all at once?
Well, maybe not everybody, but I guarantee you that the number of people that the cell phone systems are designed to handle a much smaller percentage of their total customers than the landline networks.
But also, kind of paradoxically, cell phones allow everybody to grab a phone at the same moment. You know, whereas landlines, you have to be in the vicinity of a landline to be able to do that.
That's true.
Bernie, Rob.
But at the same time, I think there could be, you know, as much as I would miss landlines if they disappeared, because I have lots of fond memories playing with landlines. But if they disappeared, would it be such a bad thing to have just one wire you had to hook up to your house to get connected to everything you wanted? More and more, like broadcast and cable TV, are watching the internet eat their lunch. People are using VoIP phones instead of landline phones. If you just had to hook up one cable and it was called data, and you got everything you wanted through it,
if you had a choice as to who you wanted to use, yes, that could be a good thing. In fact, this reminds me of something. Time Warner is really the only cable company you can use in New York City, correct? There are no alternatives.
In Manhattan, yes.
Yes, yeah. That's what I mean when I say New York City. I mean Manhattan. People from New York always mean that. So basically, you were at their mercy if you wanted to get a particular channel, for instance. And in fact, I don't know if you remember, years ago, we were pushing for Time Warner Cable to carry BBC World. Guess what? They finally did it. Years later, Channel 156, people in New York City can now finally watch news from BBC. Isn't that something? But you had to wait for them to get around to do it. And that's, I prefer when people have their own choice. They decide what it is they want on their television sets. They decide what kind of internet service they want. And if there was that kind of choice, yeah, it would be a good thing.
So, and if we had that kind of choice, and if all the different telecom companies that have been fighting over our phone lines and our internet service and everything over the past, you know, however many years, we're just competing on one level playing field with one sort of service that they were able to offer, then I think there could be potential to have a better scene all around.
I mean, the problem is that these companies have very successfully fought off any sort of regulation about anything, and they claim that the free market will cure all ills, but then they collude amongst each other explicitly and implicitly to divide up the country such that no consumer actually has a choice, and so the free market is not in play and government regulation is not in play, and that is why the internet service in the United States and the cell phone service and other such services is worse than in countries that are similarly rich but better regulated. Write your representative. I'm sure they won't care.
Well said.
As long as we're complaining, one thing that just happened to me today, in fact, I was talking to somebody on my cell phone, which, as most of you know, is still an old-fashioned non-smartphone. I kept getting cut off. And, I was understandably upset that I kept getting cut off. And my friend said to me, yeah, the reason you're getting cut off is because they've upgraded their network to 3G, 4G, and your particular phone is just being supported less and less. So not only must you get, with the cell phone program, but you have to continuously buy new equipment as they change the technology. So just because you had something that worked 5 years ago doesn't mean it's going to work today. And you're going to be expected to continuously buy new things, sign new contracts. You know, old phone service is old phone service. A phone from the 1930s, 1940s works today. And that's something I'd like to see, that kind of a system where old technology works along with new technology. All right, enough about that. Let's move to the iPhone now, because the iPhone has been in the news a bit lately. I don't know why, but apparently there was something. Anybody here have an iPhone?
Maybe it got stolen or smashed on New Year's.
Well, there's some of that going around, but I'm talking about involving telling the time. Now, apparently, when the first iPhone was released on AT&T's network, it was widely criticized for being a lousy phone, that is, despite its powerful capabilities as a tiny touchscreen computer. Now it might gain a reputation for being a subpar clock. On the morning of New Year's Day, a bug affected the Do Not Disturb feature for many iPhone users. How hard is this to get right? Apple designed the feature to block incoming phone calls and alerts for a set duration from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. when the user is asleep, for example. That's an example. I imagine you can block whatever time you want, not just that set time. But many iPhone users found that it did not turn off after the designated end time. You're nodding your head vigorously, Bicycle Mark. Why, have you heard this?
Oh, I slept half the day and people were trying... No, this did happen to me. Actually, it's happened to me before when traveling. But yes, on the morning of New Year's...
Wait, so you do have an iPhone?
Yes, I do.
You didn't admit it when I asked.
It's in the room.
But you didn't admit when I asked if anybody had an iPhone. Why is that? Why aren't you proud of your iPhone?
I confess now. But so it does have the Do Not Disturb option, which I thought was one of the greatest and most obvious inventions of the... Because it only started this year, or I'm sorry, 2012, with the Do Not Disturb. The idea that at night you don't want to be disturbed, but you may want emergency calls to come through from your family members. Anyway, yes, on the New Year's Day... I noticed that I usually have it set. I might wake up at 9 a.m. Please don't judge me based on that. So I don't let my phone alert me, no phone calls at least, until 9 a.m. But it was 10, believe it or not, 10 a.m. on New Year's. I was still asleep, and this thing was still Do Not Disturb the whole morning long.
Why don't you just put your phone into silent mode when you go to sleep, and then when you wake up again, you turn it on? That way you're not enslaved to your phone, and you dictate the terms.
Mostly because I want the alarm to function and I want the option of calls from the elderly in my family to come through. Then they know to call twice. That's the secret code, by the way, to breaking the Do Not Disturb. Just call twice in a row.
Are you saying the alarm didn't work?
The alarm won't work if you put it on silent.
Okay.
That seems like a fixable feature.
It just seems
to me...
Well,
it's called the Do Not Disturb mode.
Didn't Apple have this exact problem when they had a problem with the time zone change? They seem to have this problem with discontinuities in the time scale.
And these are
often
things that we've solved many years ago, so it shouldn't be that hard.
Slightly off topic, but has automatic time zone changing ever worked when you move country to country on your current non-smart
phone? No, that only seems to work in the United States. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
that's one of the few things that only works here. But no, I have to set the time manually when I travel overseas.
Me too. Yep.
Yeah, I don't know why that is. Some kind of setting they don't have. It seems to me that if you set an alarm, that should override the Do Not Disturb because you set an alarm for a reason.
It does. It's the silent mode that the alarm does not, you know, it's silent. The whole thing, any whistles and bells, and that includes the alarm.
This is like there was the guy in the symphony some months ago that was making all the news because he couldn't turn his alarm off or something.
He was in a symphony and his phone was going off?
Yeah, his phone was in silent mode, but the alarm can override the silent mode, so the alarm went off and he said, my phone's in silent mode. It couldn't be my phone that's making all this noise. And
this made news?
People who attend the symphony are very
who
powerful.
Who brings a phone onto stage with them when they're in a symphony?
No, an audience member.
Oh, he was in the audience. I thought he was in the symphony.
No.
Okay, that would have been embarrassing. Now, also, there's an MTA app for iPhone. This is on a more positive level here. Despite New York City virtually revolving around its mass transit system, local subway riders haven't had a way to check the next arrival in real time. Well, some stations, I think we have that. It's sort of stumbling into place,
But you're already in the station by the time you can see the clock.
Oh, this is for people that aren't in the station.
Yes, that's what's new.
Okay.
It only works on the lines, which is mostly the RT lines, where they have the clocks in the first place. But now you can be in your office and look and see if the train is coming and run to meet it.
Yeah, well, you have to be pretty close, I guess, because, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've returned to using Google Maps, which for a short time was not possible on the iPhone, and now it's back, and you can still see the times of next trains and so on.
Well, but that is just the scheduled time, which has very little to do with reality on the subway. This new
reality
thing is the actual thing.
It's interesting. I'm reading here that the L train is not linked into this iPhone app, even though the L train was the first one to have that service of telling you when the next train was going to be. It makes me wonder, why can't they get that information?
Maybe it's the gray color of the line. It's always made it kind of between this life and another.
Yeah, must be something like that. And that, yes, now Bicycle Mark, to get to the story that you were talking about, as far as theft. Last year, major crime in New York City inched up a little bit, even though murders were way down. But apparently iPhone and iPad thefts were way up. Yeah, a rise in thefts of shiny Apple products accounted for the slight increase in the city's annual crime index. Thank you, Apple. You ruined everything for New York City statistics. As of last Monday, the police department recorded 3,484 more major crimes in 2012 than for the same period last year. And the increase in Apple product thefts was 3,890. I guess the advice that they're offering, and this is something you should pay attention to, don't have your devices out as if you're showing them off so that people might swipe them. Of course, I know that takes away the whole purpose of buying it in the first place, but put it in a pocket in sort of a more body-fitting or tighter clothes so you can feel if somebody is actually trying to take it. But don't put it in an outside coat pocket. Don't have it in your lap, and everybody should be fine.
In the mid-2000s, if we can say that, mid-2000s, in Amsterdam, there was a campaign, and the signs are still out there. It's called Use It, Lose It, and it apparently says in tiny writing, don't use your phone in this area if you don't want to lose it. I always use my phone in that area because I'm trying to, you know, start a revolution.
And with all this talk lately of things like putting Wi-Fi into the subway stations and having this available for people to use in a place where it's not safe to use a device that you can put on your Wi-Fi. So I don't even know.
Well, it does fill up that time where you have nobody to talk to and nothing to look at except the oncoming train. Okay, let's take some phone calls in the time we have left. 917-580-6020 is our phone number. That's 917-580-6020. That's our temporary number. And for those of you that have heard the rumors about the radio station, I can say today that, in fact, they are true. And that's all I can say, because technically I can't say anything about what the rumors are. But I can say that exciting times are ahead. Those of you who are a part of this place, I think, will be thrilled to be a part of this place in future months and years as well. And, it's definitely transitional, and we're learning.
What are you talking about?
See, some people know, some people don't. That's just the way it is, but, you know, you have to live with that. Let's take some phone calls, though. 917-580-6020. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
Yeah, hey, it's radio station?
This is a radio station. You're on the air broadcasting to everybody.
Great. What they're going to do instead of payphones is they'll probably have a vending machine that has cheap payphones in it. Not payphones, cheap, like, track phones or something.
Okay, but don't they want to know who you are, though, when you register for these phones?
No, in the United States, you can still get cell phones without giving your identity.
Well, now you can, but do you think next year you'll be able to?
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tricky because you have to avoid paying with your credit card, but you can do it.
That doesn't really help, though, if you want to report a fire and you don't have any money, you know? Because I think instant communications is something that, you know, we can definitely achieve, and it should be something we expect.
Could be like the communications vending machine, and normally you can buy a prepaid phone, or you can press here to call the police.
There you go.
Yeah.
Or somebody else. Let's take another phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Yeah, hi.
Hi. Speak up, please.
Hello.
Okay. We don't have time for confused people right now. 917-580-6020. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, I just got home and my wife was on the computer, and somebody called her tonight. Tell her that somebody taken over her mouse or computer.
Someone took over your wife's mouse. Is that what you're telling us?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Like a hacker.
Well, hold on. I don't know if it's a hacker necessarily, but...
No, I think he was referring to the traditional...
Oh, hi. Is this the person whose mouse was taken over?
I get this phone call on the house phone, and the guy said he's calling from the World Wide Web. And that somebody is trying to hack into my computer. Every day someone is trying to hack into my computer. So he says, go to the run page and type in this, you know, and all of this situation.
Okay, rule number one, generally, if somebody is saying they're calling from the World Wide Web, don't do anything they say after that point, because there are no phones in the World Wide Web headquarters, as far as I know. Anybody who says that is trying to get you to do something that defies common sense. So did you do anything?
Well, I did. I started to, but then he keeps going on and he's getting kind of aggravated when I can't do it. So then I said, wait a minute, you're the hacker.
Well, he's
cursed me out, and he hung up.
Actually, would it surprise you if I said you were the hacker because you figured it out and you used ingenuity to do it and you outsmarted what's a corrupt system that criminals use? Hackers don't generally get you to do things like that. It's he might have used something known as social engineering to get you off your guard. Acting agitated will make people try and please the person on the phone, even if they're a complete stranger. But you can outwit that. And just because that's something that hackers learn how to do, it doesn't mean that the person doing that was a hacker.
Well, he was, because I'll tell you what happened. So after I tell him that, he hung up quickly. But he had the nerve to call me back and curse me a second time.
How did he get your... somebody who calls you and curses you out probably isn't a very professional person to start with. But how do you think he got your phone number?
I don't know.
Did he know your name?
Yeah, he did.
Hmm. Well, in situations like that, if somebody calls you and asks you to do something strange, get a number to call them back. You don't have to tell them the truth. You can say that you're not the person they think you are. You'll pass the message on and get right back to them. That way you get more information about who they are, and you turn the tables that way.
Right.
All right? Good luck with that, though. That's.
But I had already put in his information, like TeamViewers.
Okay, what TeamViewer is a program that lets somebody else who's using the same program look at your desktop, move your mouse around, and do what they want to do with your computer as if they were sitting in front of it where you are.
And that's how your mouse got taken over.
So if this person talked you into installing that and setting it up so they could use it, then they can use it to move your mouse around and do terrible things. So what I would recommend you do is find somebody near you at a shop or a friend, a computer literate friend or something, to take a look at that and see if they can undo it all, because otherwise I don't think it would be safe to continue.
Get rid of that program. Is there a way to quickly get rid of that program?
If you can figure a way to uninstall TeamViewer, like maybe from the Windows control panel or something like that, that would be a good thing to do.
Do you think they have a little thing that says uninstall this program for that one? Or
quite possibly.
Might they? Okay. Good luck with that, though. That's it's a real problem. It does happen to people. Let's take another phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Hello.
Speak up, please. Go ahead. Okay. We don't have time for these long pauses, folks. I'm sorry. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
I can't believe that you guys are just, like, thinking it's okay to get rid of landline phones.
Well, I never said that.
Yeah, y'all were like, oh, yeah, it might be a good thing if they could do... No.
Well, I said I'm open to the technology that landline phones use, meaning internet protocol instead of voice circuits. If that improves the sound quality, if you get more features out of that, but you still have the landline. The landline is there, just the technology would be a little bit different.
We want landlines, like you did say, landline alongside with new technology. That's what we want. Because like you said, when we have storms, only those phones, if you have an old phone that doesn't plug in, only has the wire jack, that will still work. Most people don't even realize that. So they go, oh, my telephone is not working. But that's because they have phones that, you know, have caller ID and all that other stuff that they need to plug in. That's one. Reception is not that good all the time on cell phones. So I'd much rather talk on my landline phone when I'm at home and when I'm doing business, you know, drop calls. And like, for example, when I'm on Eastern Parkway during Carnival, it's almost like they turn off the signals in that area, you know?
Because I wouldn't put it past them.
Nobody can get a signal. It's not because everybody's calling at the same time, because no one has signal. But there's so many police around and they're doing their own thing. It's almost like they're able to shut it off and you can't get a signal in that area.
Mm-hmm. And that is, yeah, that's a very good point, actually. Cell phone service can be turned off at the drop of a hat by the authorities.
But
bingo.
So can landline service.
When's the last time you've heard of landline service being cut by the authorities?
The reason they don't do it is because they perceive that they can't, because the landline is set up legally. This is a legal creation, not a technical one, that the landline system is set up to be way more reliable than the cell phone network. It doesn't have to be that way.
Right.
But it is. But it is. And every political convention lately, I've heard talk of the cell service being cut off. I have not heard talk of landlines being cut off.
Yeah, I need you guys to champion the fact that we need to somehow do something to make sure we keep our landline. Not to mention the fact that we're just going to get zapped more with just cell phones running.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for that call. Bicycle Mark, go ahead.
No, when I was in Egypt gathering these stories from the revolution, over and over again, you heard about how cell phones, internet were all shut down, and it was networks of people calling through landlines to relatives, to loved ones, who found out what was going on in the country and where to go and what was safe and what could be done. Landlines did it.
All right. Bicycle Mark, we're going to miss you.
Yeah, I'll miss you too. Thanks for letting me sit in these weeks. It's been a pleasure.
And we'll see you certainly at Ohm in the Netherlands. That's the hacker camp. Mike, what's the address for that?
Ohm2013.org.
OHM2013.org for information on the hacker camp in Holland.
I'll be there.
First 2600 meeting of the year this Friday, everywhere near you.
Absolutely. Go to www.2600.com/meetings for information on meetings near you. It's Emmanuel for Off the Hook. We'll see you again next week. Good night.
WBAI New York 99.5 FM. Also streaming on the web at WBAI.org. Also streaming on the web at PCRadioshow.org. And it is June the 2nd, 2013. And this is the Personal Computer Show.
January the 2nd, 2013. That January the 2nd, 2013. So much going on here in the studio. All right, here we go. Yeah.
I was about to say this is Joe King, but if this is June the...
This is...
Can we start all over
this
again?
This is January the 2nd, 2013. I wish it was June.
In spite of rumors to the contrary, this is Joe King, the Personal Computer Show, and we are on WBAI in the midst of the winter. It's quite chilly here. And Stevie, yes. I know that that St. Bernard came to you with a cask full of brandy, but you weren't supposed to drink it all.
I like brandy.
Yes, you do. Sitting next to me on the right is Hank Key, and behind the console making a fool of himself is Stevie DB. I want to wish you all, one and all, a very happy and healthy new year. I hope that this coming year brings you more joy and health and prosperity than ever before.
I hope so.
And I'd like you to pull out your pencils and write down a phone number for me. I'm going to tell you how, at the half hour, you'll be able to call us here in our temporary studio situation. You'll be calling 917-580-6020. That's 917-580-6020. That's if you're listening live on the radio or on the stream over the internet, which you can get at WBAI.org. If you're listening to an archival play or a podcast tomorrow, please don't call 917-580-6020. Call the local hospital and tell them you would like to check in and dry out. It's been a rough New Year's Eve. Stevie, I know you'll get over it eventually. Hank, what do we have for tonight?
Well, listen, thank you, everyone. And we really had an unusual year for 2012. And as a carryover from that, Microsoft has a couple of offers that we want to make sure that everyone is aware of. They have two different offers. One is one that expires January the 31st, is that you can download the Windows 8 Pro upgrade, and the cost is under $40. So if you think that at some point in time you will be upgrading your system, any Windows system, it doesn't have to be Windows 7, doesn't have to be Windows Vista, it could be Windows XP, any Windows system.
Not any Windows system, those that Hank just mentioned, Vista, XP, or 7.
And if you intend to do it sometime in the future, the $40 is worth it.
On the other hand, if you're going to follow Michael's advice, you're not going to do that, so it doesn't matter.
Now, the other thing is that they have another offer that if you had purchased a machine after June 2nd, 2012, and you purchase it, like say, up to the end of January, you do qualify for a $15 upgrade. In other words, they you should have a redemption coupon that for $15 they'll send you the Windows 8 upgrade. So if between June 2nd and by the way, when I said June 2nd, that's what Stevie was probably looking at.
Exactly.
Sure. If you had purchased a machine after June 2nd and it was a Windows 7 machine for $15, make sure you got the redemption or proof of purchase. For $15, you can get the Windows 8 upgrade. So that's important, and it's already, we're in January. Do it before you forget it. That's important. And the other thing that I did want to cover is a tech tip that I've had, I've been sitting with, and something that we should go over. Joe, there's one of the things that you were talking to me about is that with the Windows operating system, you can synchronize your systems. And you said that you try not to synchronize one of them with the many systems you have. And the reason is because when you synchronize it, it changes all the systems. And if you did want to go back to something that you didn't want to change, at least you have a copy of it.
Changes the settings.
Well, it's more than just the settings. I mean, if you start synchronizing a calendar or contacts phone book or anything you're synchronizing, think seriously about it before you press that button. Yes, you want to synchronize.
And right. The reason is because it changes all the systems you have.
I made a mistake. I use a password manager called RoboForm, which I think the world of. I've been using it for 10, 12 years now. And it, too, has a synchronize button. And every time it pops up, it says, synchronize now. And the first time it said that, I said, sure, not realizing that I couldn't control which things it synchronized where and to, and suddenly I couldn't get into Facebook anymore because it synchronized me right out of my password, and I couldn't remember what it was. Got to be careful with that. Cloud,
storage is very good for passwords because, you know, you're safe and you always have access to them. But again, synchronize hell.
And we have another tech tip that I've been tossing around with Joe because I would say, Joe, you forwarded me a message, but how come it's blank? And Joe says, what do you mean? I forward a message. Why should you get a blank page? And what happens is that he is forwarding a URL. And I go to that URL, and of course, I expect to have information on it.
And understand that when I'm out of the office, I have a choice of using a tablet, which is fairly big, or a cell phone, which is fairly small. And I very frequently will be sitting on a bus or in the subway, and I will forward email to Hank from the cell phone, not realizing that he's not necessarily getting what I think I'm sending him.
Right. And then I finally one day I said, look, instead of having him sending me blank, going to a location that's blank, there must be something about it. And lo and behold, many of the URLs has an M period preceding it.
Now, I don't put the M period there. But when I get a link to a URL on my cell phone, it looks at what's sending the inquiry and it says, oh, that's a cell phone, so we'll just automatically transfer this to our mobile site, which is the M period in front of the URL, and that's what it sends off to Hank. Not every site does that. And especially with a so-called smartphone. It's not, you know, these smartphones, that's a misnomer because they're really a PIA phone.
Oh, come on. Don't blame it on the hardware. Blame it on the user.
The user doesn't know what he's doing in most cases.
Well, and when you're using it...
If he did know what he was doing, he wouldn't be sitting in this chair next to you.
You know, at the beginning of the year, people make resolutions, and one of the things that I would like to impart on everyone is that, hey, it's the start of a year, it's the start of a new year, and let's think positive. We should look at the... You know, whenever we change the clock, they always tell you, change the battery. So this way, or anything that requires a battery, such as carbon monoxide sensors and heat sensors and so on, that you have a fresh battery. Well, I'm going to talk about preventive hardware maintenance first. And one of the problems, a major cause of a hardware problem, is heat. Now, heat shortens the life of equipment. And this is especially true when the equipment is a tower unit. Now, a tower unit is they call it desktop unit, but some of them are so big that many people often put it on the floor. And when you put it on the floor, Joe, you know what you attract, right?
Cat hair, pet dander, dust balls, and rolling tumbleweed.
Lots of dust. And when that dust gets into your system, guess what? It blocks the fan, or it causes the fan to lock up, and then the heat builds up. And then you find that when you turn on the machine and you're running, and within 1 or 2, 3 minutes or some short period after, it freezes, and you say, what's wrong? And often we would say, you have a heat problem, and then it dawned on me that, you know, the heat problem may be something as simple as, hey, how about every once in a while take a vacuum around, or if you happen to have one of these cans of, you can blow out dust, use it.
And those cans, if you can blow out dust, some people call compressed air.
Yeah. Well, but the thing is, you got to be careful because you got to open up the unit. If you don't open up the unit and you use that can of air to blow the combustion, you're pushing the dirt right back into the unit.
Stevie, you're having a conniption over
there. Yeah, because I don't believe in blowing out the dust. Now you're blowing. Where is that dust going?
Well.
Well, let him answer you.
Okay, well, I said you open up the unit.
And then do what with the dust?
Then you blow it out.
To where?
Oh, because it comes out.
Do you take it outside and blow it out outside of your home, or do you blow it out in your living room?
Actually, I do it in the hallway. But it's too cold to go outside.
Excuse me, Stevie. Are you suggesting that Hank blows it out?
Well, you know, he just said blow out the dust, like that dust is just blow it out into the living room. No, that's not the idea, Hank. You should actually be vacuuming that dust out.
Okay. You know what? The vacuum doesn't work as effectively as having compressed air.
I understand that,
too. At the small places, okay?
No, you're right. It's just telling people to blow that dust out in the middle of their living room. Come on.
Now,
now that you're finished, Mr. Frick, let's go to Mr. Frack.
The other thing is that you should, if you happen to be using an impact printer, you have to clean that out too. Because
what do you mean by an impact printer?
A dot matrix printer is an impact printer.
Do they still sell those, Stevie?
Oh yes,
on eBay somewhere.
No. A lot of places are still selling.
I thought the Smithsonian even stopped collecting those.
No.
Seriously, I would say that most consumers are using inkjet printing or toner cartridge printing.
Yeah.
However, many businesses are still using impact printers, for labels, putting on, like say, in a drugstore. They put that on. They use it to label things.
You mean that little thing that goes onto that little green bottle I get is used an impact printer?
Yes, they do.
Is that a daisy wheel printer or a bouncing ball printer?
Yeah.
It's not a bouncing ball. It's more like a daisy wheel. Okay. And the reason why is very
simple.
That's
a specialized printer.
Yeah. The reason why they do that is because typically on a